The argument was Pope and people thought. And this took care of that matter. We too, young or old, should well realize that the grandest use of life possible, the grandest use of our life this side of the veil possible and beyond, is to render it to God to be used in His service and in the service of humanity. We should remember this incident when we are fearful of our adversaries and feel that they will overcome us. We should not fear the face of man because the Lord is with us. So having accomplished this first task, Gideon, as directed by the Lord, he set out to the next one. And that was to battle the Midianites. So he sent out messengers to the various tribes for this volunteers for this battle. 32,000 responded. Now, that's a lot of people. So perhaps he was encouraged by it because so many responded. But let's remember that to go into battle or to take the grove veil down and burn it and erect an altar to Jehovah was one thing, but to take 32,000 agriculturally oriented people to battle against 135,000 Midianites who were used to warfare was another matter. How would you feel in that same situation? Would you say, let's go? Or would you say, wait a minute? For this task, Gideon apparently said, wait a minute, because for just a moment, because he wanted to have fresh assurance that what he was about to do was approved of the Lord and the Lord would be with him. So we remember the story of the fleece. The first test was a wool fleece laid out in the open overnight, and Gideon asked that it be wet with dew the next morning, and the ground all around would be dry. But it happened. The Lord granted this. Perhaps that should be enough. No. Gideon said, just once more, Lord, reverse it. The next night, make the fleece dry and the ground all around wet with dew. Well, this might have been presuming upon the Lord to ask him to do these things. The Lord did it. The next morning, perhaps to much astonishment, the matter had been accomplished. The Lord granted the first request and even accommodated Gideon on the second. He had the courage to take faith, and the faith to merely go on what the Lord had given him. He needed, in addition to the faith that he already possessed, a knowledge of God. And this is what he gained through these experiences. He was commissioned then, he saw he was commissioned to go forth in the name of the Lord to do His will. From this point on, nothing could stop this courageous servant of God. Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Blessed is the man. And we could say similarly, blessed are those whom the Lord chooses and are along spiritual lines. How often the Lord manifests His will and favor to us beyond what we might reasonably expect. At those times, I'm sure all of us, our hearts welling up, oft times with weeping, to thank the Lord that He has even touched us in any sense, seeing that so many have not been called to this. And we think, what have we done? Not really much of anything, except that one of the most precious things that Gideon had, and that was faith. And then when we come to know the Lord more, this gives us the courage that we need, as Gideon needed, to accomplish any task as long as we go in the strength of the Lord. How often, through trials and deceptions, the Father reveals things to us that He not only actually does for us, but He shows us things that He could do if He wanted to, without actually doing them. And this increases our faith tremendously, doesn't it? Psalm 31:1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Since ours is essentially a walk by faith, indeed blessings, and indeed will come, and blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. Now let's return to our story. Gideon no doubt felt that his army was too small. After all, it was 1 to 4. But the Lord felt otherwise. He said to Gideon, there's too many people. It isn't recorded that Gideon responded to something. But even a man of faith, and so he trusted the Lord,
He maybe wondered at the Lord's action.
Have you ever wondered, Lord, why? Faith does not ask why. Said to Gideon, there's too many. We'll have to cut this down. There's too much of a chance with this many people that they may glory in their own accomplishment. And this was to be the Lord's battle. The Lord had Gideon apply the first test to prove which members of this army would be acceptable. So Gideon announced that all who were fearful after they'd come to view the enemy and knew what the situation was and what it was involved for, he said, you have permission to return home, those that are fearful. And what do you think? 22,000 returned home. But it almost seemed like that it was an empty camp with all those people leaving. And here they were with a mere 10,000 people. Now we had about 13 or 14 Midianites to one Israelite. So what was left was 10,000 courageous men, and that's what the Lord wanted. Fearless in the presence of an enemy, many times their own strength, they must have been men of faith in the Lord, and men who in some respects at least resembled Gideon in their heart, and in their courage, and their trust in Jehovah. So this person was a test of faith. So now that they were all set to battle and go out, God said, Gideon is still too many. We can't get along with this 10,000 people. Now, these were men of faith, were courage, courageous men. Again, Gideon might have wondered why, as we may wonder why, when we have experiences that seem to go almost to or beyond what we're able to bear. And we're prone to go to the Lord and say, why, Lord, this? We can't do it without doing what we see would be fit. The Lord says, no, you're looking the wrong place. You're looking to yourself. You're looking to others. You're not looking to me for your help. So Gideon had learned by now to trust the Lord, so he went ahead and took the second test to reduce the forces. So after this test of faith was applied, a test of zeal was applied. Selection then of Gideon's army is an illustration of the Lord's method in the selection of the peculiar people who will share with him the honors of victory and the conquest of sin and all its defiling hopes. Rather, do we realize what army we're in, what we're doing? We have been asked of the Lord to present to him our will. We've been asked that we would make a covenant, offer to make a covenant by sacrifice. And this we have done. He said, if you do this and are successful in it, I will share with you my nature. Have life in oneself. Now, with these kind of honors at stake, do you think the Lord is going to select anyone that may respond to some kind of a call? No. We first have to be tested and tried. First have to have a test of faith, and then a test of zeal. The Lord had in mind a glorious victory, but it was to be achieved by His might and power alone. The honor due to these human instruments that were here was only going to be a partial honor. Gideon was told to lead the 10,000 down to the brook. Here they were dressed in armor, had swords, so they were to go down to drink. Now, if you knelt down to drink with armor on, I've never worn armor, but I have seen it, it's very cumbersome, it had to be unbuckled in order to get down on your knees to drink. But to some amazement, to the observer perhaps, all of them did not kneel down to drink and unbuckle their armor and take off their defensive weapons, or offensive weapons. Some knelt down, unbuckled their armor, and put their face in the water. And others hastily scooped up a little water in their hand and lapped it. They were looking around. They were not hiding their eyes. So here we have 300 peculiar people who scooped the water up, looking around, always being on the watch. This was a test of zeal. God said, Gideon, these are your this is your army. These are the ones that I want. 300 against 135,000 Midianites. Again, how would we feel? These 300 were not sent home as the others, but they were sent to Gideon's tent, and there they were to receive instructions on what to do. Just so, in these circumstances, the Lord Jehovah contemplates the conquest of the world for Christ. In Zechariah 14:3. And Christ, like Gideon, is called of God to lead a little flock of called and faithful and chosen ones. We read in Revelation 17:14, he's asking them to come forth to the conquest of the host of sin. All that had been called during this antithetical day of atonement had had but a few in comparison to all the opposing forces of the world. The call was first to those who were to be attracted to the call, had some respect for it. Then the privilege was offered to these to present themselves a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1, and thus to go forward to the battle. But that was more than the weak faith of the multitude could endure. Too much. And thousands therefore returned, shunning the hardship, and to showing their lack of faith in the Lord's ability to grant the victory. But still, quite a multitude made the full consecration, as we see in the 10,000. Many grow weary, however, as the thinning of the ranks come about. Zeal abates, faith weakens, love grows cold, and as they push to the end, again, the faith is the thing that shows up, it declines. Beloved, let us not be of those who draw back, or those who are faint by the way, for glorious will be this victory of faith and zeal. Blessed is he that shall endure unto the end. Such shall indeed be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We're not to bury our heads, as it were, in the water. But we're to be alert. We're to scoop up the water, the truth, to manifest our zeal along God's accepted line. Because the Lord your God proveth you, even to the depth of every fiber of your being, he proveth you with these tests, to see if you love him with your whole heart. It's not enough that we should have faith in the Lord and the captain of our salvation, and we should make our consecration to the Lord's will, but further, we must go on to pass these other tests that are made with a view of making a final selection of a very special class, the select company that went with Gideon. The spiritual class is to constitute a little flock. Are you surprised to learn that this test of water symbolized the truth? You aren't, are you? Because water does symbolize truth. It becomes a very important question to every consecrated one as he is brought to a knowledge of the truth, how he will receive it, how he will appropriate it, how he will handle it. What a lesson here for all God's people, that in order to be used in the Lord's service and accomplish things for him and his, full devotion of heart is not only essential, but it will be demanded of the Lord as being tested to the very depth of their being. Sanctification is shown in these 300 that were set aside for a holy purpose. So are we, as members of the consecrated, sanctified Church of the Firstborn, hoping to be of this antithetical 300. The hands that were used showed energy, and this would exemplify the zeal. We understand that they signify that the persons most approval of the Lord will use energy and discretion in partaking of the truth. You'd think at first that those that buried their head in the water were drinking it all in. It was without discretion. He did not show the zeal that was, and to appropriate it as the Lord desired. These that use the truth and accept it with discretion and zeal will not bow down in the mire of human servility, will not maintain their own uprightness on their own, but will trust in the Lord and partake of this water of truth, lifting their heads gratefully each time, acknowledging its heavenly origin of whatever stream or channel it may come to. After the test that was applied and they were back at the place where Gideon was giving them instruction, Gideon said, each one, he's divided his company into three, his whole company into three companies, 100 each. He was to take one, and they had three new weapons. Now, I don't think these were, well, these, I guess they could be called secret weapons, because no one else knew how to use these. In their right hand was a ram's horn, or a trumpet. And in their left hand was a pitcher, an earthen vessel, and a light inside of it. These were their new weapons. Didn't have any need for the others right then. So Gideon said that for his company, the 100, so they would imitate him and do as he did. He would blow on the ram's horn, and he would shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon intermittently, and then he would break the pitcher and let the light out. And as the other companies saw what was happening and heard what was happening, they would do the same. The proper moment, they break their pitchers, letting the light shine out ahead, shouting aloud the sword of the Lord and Gideon. It was the Lord's battle. This is why it was the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And the Lord's arrangement, and it was carried out as it was intended, because Gideon was faithful to that which he was called. Midianites awakened from their slumber, panic-stricken, believing that they were surrounded by immense hosts. And the result was that they fled, killing one another in their fright and confusion. And then Gideon and his company, the rest of them followed, destroyed the majority of the enemy. The victory was the Lord. None could glory except to glory in Jehovah. And that was the intention. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29, partially read, especially the 29th, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In Jeremiah 9:23-24, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. What a wonderful manifestation of the Lord's being. Our captain of our salvation, our antithetical Gideon, the head of the church, has given special instructions to his followers also. We're to follow his example, the captain of our salvation. We are to blow up on the trumpet, proclaim the truth, and the sword of the Spirit of the truth is of Jehovah and of his anointed. Now, if the truth is proclaimed accurately, it is a faithful performance of our duty. If it is not, if the kind of a noise that was made on the ram's horn was different than what they knew about, they would not know to respond. The same thing with us. We must know to respond to the proper sound. 1 Corinthians 14:7-8. If the trumpet give forth an uncertain sound, who then can prepare for that? The breaking of these pitchers not only had the effect of letting the light out, but the fright to the Midianites, the one reason why they thought there were so many is because the breaking of these pitchers, these earthen vessels, sounded like armor. And we brought an earthen vessel with us today. I doubt if it was like the one that Gideon had, but perhaps we can get an idea. I don't know how much that sounds like armor, but I'm sure that if you heard this loudly, 300 of them, then you would see that, you would think that there were many more people than what was there. So the 300 then were to break their pitchers and let the light shine out. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, to break our earthen vessels,
holy and acceptable unto God. We see how the captain of our salvation broke his earthen vessel. He poured out his life for 3.5 years unto death. Vitality going out of him. He presented his life, a living sacrifice unto God. He was our example, and we are to imitate him. We'd like to use an illustration, and perhaps we can get a little better idea of what was facing them. We could have the lights up. It isn't very dark in here, but perhaps it will help us to get an idea. When they were in the battle, or approaching it, could not see any light coming out that would have given them away to any of the enemy. And we had to be careful that not to be sure to break the vessel, because if they did not, then it would only partially shine out. It would not accomplish what was happening. Now let's see if we can do something with this vessel that will help us to see some light. And we may not be able to see so well because it isn't as dark. Now remember, this is the armor again. Can you see a light shining out through here? Now this is a light from a cracked vessel. It doesn't shine out very much, does it? This is not the desirable condition. We want to have a vessel that not only is cracked, but is broken fully. Hear the armor? And the light can shine out fully to our earthen vessel. Do you have the lights back on, please? To be broken fully means to let our light shine out fully. It's impossible for us to do otherwise. Our light can only shine out fully if we are broken fully and not partially cracked or broken. We are committed to be broken with him that we might reign with him, to suffer with him, we might be heirs of his father's estate. Gideon received honor when he went back, and the 300 with him. But the battle was the Lord, and he was the one that gave the honor. 2 Timothy 2:12, we'd like to read the text we alluded to. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. And then to the Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon up the sufferings of this present time, this breaking of the earthen vessel of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Compared to the world, the most alert ones are but a very few that sit. It is those of the Lord's people who are alert that he chooses and grants these greatest opportunities for service. Oh, now that the world recognizes, if you're compatible with the world, they'll love you for it. They'll put your names in light. They'll put honors upon you. But what would you have? You'd have earthly honors. You'd have an earthen vessel that was not broken at all, and no light could shine out at all. Not useful in the Lord's service. Not useful to Gideon at all. He knew that those 300 would break their vessel. He knew that they would blow on the ram's horn. He knew they would follow the directions implicitly. Even in some places in the truth movement, if we deal improperly, our names may be put up in light. We will be lauded, we will be flattered, which is contrary to the Lord's instruction. But this isn't our desire. If we're walking circumspectly, we'll attract persecution from the world. That's good, isn't it? If we're walking circumspectly, we might invoke some displeasures from those who might be walking alongside or behind us or somewhere. Not that we intend to do this, but this is a natural result. So let us break our earthen vessels and use these present earthly lives in the service of the Lord, that the light of the truth might shine out, and that the cause for the truth will be a victory for the Lord. Now is the time for the breaking of our earthen vessel. Now is the time for proclaiming the truth. Now is the time for standing up for the truth. Now is the time for defending the harvest message. Not defend it as the world's message, as Satan's message, but defend it in the love of the truth. The more clearly we see present conditions and foresee these approaching events on the world, these prophecies being fulfilled, it should stimulate us, since we have the faith, to more zeal. It should stimulate us when this dark night approaches. If you'd had complete darkness in here, we'd have seen that the darkness surrounding this light. Because if that light that is in thee becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? So it was after this testing of these sifting, this little company of the Lord granted this great deliverance to all Israel. And we too can have that privilege of giving deliverance to all the whole world of mankind if we're faithful, being a part of that great mediator who is to bless and to instruct the people of God's creation. Picture that we have tried to illustrate to you, to enforce it upon our minds, is important. We're suggesting that there's five things involved, as you see on the chart. First, we have a test of faith, test of zeal, test of courage, test of obedience, and test of sacrifice. This is the tests that are applied to the new creation, brethren. Pictures show that the world, when it's cleansed of every bit of sin, every bit of defiling influences that God detests, He will have His way. Let us not forget that the battle is the Lord. We can't do this ourselves. We can't accomplish these things on our own might. But this battle is the Lord. Revelation 5:13. All voices in heaven and earth and under the earth and in the sea heard I saying, blessing and glory and honor and dominion and right and power unto Him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb. And if we are successful in breaking our earthen vessels, we will have the approval of the Lord. We may not have the approval of others. Sometimes we may not have the approval of ourselves, but we will have the approval of the Lord, and that is what is the most important thing that in this world. And if we desire to be heirs of God, as I'm sure we do, then the only course that we have is to be a broken and empty vessel. The Master can use us then. The light can shine out. Think of the company of Gideon. If they didn't do it, who would do it? No one else in Israel did. If we don't do it, who else will? The Lord is trusting us. So let us see that the word of truth is pure, and that we will be glad, not only willing, but be glad to break our earthen vessel. May the Lord add His blessing to these things that are spoken today.
Thank you, Brother Chastain, for this interesting, illustrative lesson on breaking our culture. The use of hymn number 229.
Thank you.
loving Father in heaven, the great creator of the universe, we come to thee to thank thee that we can call thee our Father. Cannot express in words, dear Father, our gratitude for this privilege that we have presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, making a covenant to follow our Master, thy Son, and our sent. We thank thee for the way he broke his earthen vessel, that he set a good example for us. Help us in that we may do likewise. Not that we want to take this honor to ourselves, but that we want to let this light shine out that is in us, thou hast given us, that we might be a fit vessel for thy use, broken to the world, but pleasing to thee. Help us in our daily lives, as you see fit, that we should have experiences, even though they may be hard and trying this side the veil. We trust thee. We want to trust thee more and more. We want to, with these experiences, we want to break more and more this earthen vessel, that the pure light may shine out. Help us to keep the truth pure. Guide and direct us, the rest of this convention, that it may have a sanctifying effect upon us, that it may cause us to be more faithful, to be more zealous, to be more obedient to thee, and to offer a greater sacrifice each time. For we ask these things and ask thy continued care with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
B5. 155. Thank you.